And so finally he stopped me and He said, Wayne, I got to give you like a 9-1-1 golf lesson. So I said, okay, what is it? He said, first of all, this is a golf club. It's not a pick or an axe. And it has been carefully crafted and designed that when you cooperate with the design, the ball will respond accordingly. You see, what happens sometimes is we just pounce on the ball. And when the ball doesn't go anywhere, we look at the club and what do? We throw the club. Stupid club. No, it's not the club that's stupid. We won't go any further, but...
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope. Yesterday, we began a message entitled Mercy and Justice, where Pastor Wayne began to show us the importance of cooperating with God's laws. Today, we'll see that when we do, good things begin to happen. Here is the conclusion of the message, Mercy and Justice.
Would you write down a number two? God doesn't want you just to know His laws. He wants you to, here it is, love and obey His laws. Not just know them. See, the Pharisees knew the laws. How many times people will say, yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know it's wrong. Yeah, I know that. The Lord is saying, no, I want you to, that's good, that's number one. I want you now to graduate to step two. Now, nothing wrong with that, knowing God's laws. That's wonderful. That's step one. Now it's time to graduate. Put on your cap and gown to love and obey God's laws. That will help you to grow to your second stage in knowing God. Love and obey God's laws. Let's read the results of one who does. Psalm 19, go. Those who love your law have great peace and do not... isn't that great? Those who love your law, the result is you'll have great peace. Remember, we're not immune from fallen humankind and mistakes that take place. But in the midst of that, we'll have a peace if we not just know His laws, but we love His laws and obey them. Love His laws and obey them. Constantly in Scripture, you will see that God is trying to reach our hearts. And that's why he says in Proverbs 4, in Proverbs 7, the first verse in each, if you will treasure my commandments within you. Because he's trying to reach our heart, not just our task. Because we know that you can get kids like to do stuff, but if they don't do it with all their heart, it's like, oh man, I don't want you to do that. I remember saying to my daughter, Amy, clean your room. I don't want to clean your room. No, I don't want to clean your room.
Okay, you want me to clean? I'll clean my room. Yeah, you want me to put this away? I'll put it away. Yeah, I'll put it away right there. Yeah, you want me to clean this up? Yeah, I cleaned up.
I thought, no, if you're not doing it with your heart, don't do it. Because rebellion's still there. And you might do something, but as soon as supervision is gone, you stop doing it. And listen carefully, if you're a young person, high school or college, if you haven't learned to treasure God's heart with law within your heart, as soon as your parents or supervision or accountability is gone, boom, you go buckle loose because it hasn't changed your heart. That's why all the way through the Scriptures, you can go to church all the time, but if it's not treasured in your heart, it won't change you. You won't have peace. Those who love thy law shall have great peace. And so God is working on our hearts to try and change our hearts, not just our tasks. So you'll see it all the way through Scripture. Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I treasured or hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the law of the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm chapter 1, the whole first chapter, happy is the man or blessed is the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor follows in the path of scorners or sit in their seat, but listen to this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. He shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of living water that yields his fruit in due season, whose leaves will never fade. And whatever he does, he prospers. The verse, the salient phrase, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. You see, when God sees that we delight to do His will, man, it just charges Him. Yeah, that's it, because it's changing your heart, not just your actions for a short time. Learn to love and obey. You know why it's important? Would you write in your next bullet? Because His blessings will always follow obedience. His blessings come after obedience. The pathway of obedience leads to His promise, His blessings, His reward. And so if we obey and we want to obey, God is saying, that's what I want you to do. I want you to love to obey because that's where your blessings will be found. And I've wired it that way, that if you'll follow my instructions, it leads to inheritance. If you violate or refuse to, then it's still waiting there, but it'll never be apprehended. You'll die with potential still within you. But I've designed it and wired it that way. So if you love to follow the Lord, you will always see His provision, His embrace, His blessings, His direction, His insight, His wisdom. It's all waiting at the end, the pathways of obedience. For example, if I said to my son, Aaron, I want you to meet me now at 5:30 at this restaurant. Now, you have to listen carefully. Here's the instructions. You go down King Street, you turn on Keamoku, you go up to Ala Moana, and it's this one little shop. Now, at 5:30, I'll meet you there, but I've got another appointment, but I got something for you. So 5:30, remember, and that's the instruction. The reason you got to go that way is because there's a parade, like yesterday. There's a parade, and you'll get caught in it, so you got to go around this way. Got it? Got it. Now, I've designed it that blessings will be the result of him following instruction. Now, what if he decides to go surfing because there's a south swell and the surf's up and my buddies wanted to go and he got a new board he wants me to try. And so finally after that, he gets a little bite to eat with his buddies. And then at 7 o'clock, he shows up. 7 o'clock. Well, I'm gone. And he calls me and says, hey, Dad, where are you, man? I'm here at the place. I said, yeah, but I'm gone already. Yeah, but what? You thought you had something for me. No, I got nothing for you now. Well, what you said, meet you here. Yeah, but I gave you instruction in a timely fashion for you to obey. What, you don't love me no more? No, I still love you. You have my love. You just don't have my blessing. Because I had a check for $10,000 for you. But now you get my love. You see, you will always have God's love. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God, no matter what you do. But His blessings are wired in such a way that as you follow His instructions, you receive His blessings. And it's just designed that way. That's how He's done it. In fact, let's read Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11 in the English version. You'll see how God, everything is according to God's design and plan. Let's read it. Go. All things are done according to God's plan and decision, based on what He had decided from the very... Yeah, you see, what He says is, I've designed your life from the very beginning. And if you'll follow my instructions that I give to you or obey them and love that, every time you do that, you will receive the inheritance and all the things I've promised to you. But for some reason, we have a better way and a better idea, and we don't need to follow God's ways because it's not convenient. I like it my way. Then you'll always end up going down dead-end rabbit trails, and it'll take you forever. And then you'll wonder, how come, God? How come? Some time ago, I went golfing with the pro who was in our church at the time, was at Eva golf course. And so he said, come and golf. So I went. I was a little nervous, obviously, because I'm a real bad golfer, and this is a pro. And so I went and golfed, because when the pro golfs with you, it's free. So I went, you know. And man, he makes it look so easy. Have you seen those pros? They just kind of swing, and it just takes off like a rocket. And me, you know, you get out there, boom, and the thing just, and it doesn't even get to the women's tee. And it just kind of goes a little bit, well, I was maiming trees, skinning cats. I was just destroying houses. And so finally he stopped me. He said, Wayne, I got to give you like a 9-1-1 golf lesson. So I said, okay, what is it? He said, first of all, this is a golf club. It's not a pick or an axe. It's a golf club. And it has been carefully crafted and designed in a certain way that when you cooperate with the design, it will, I guarantee you, the ball will respond accordingly. So you see how it sits, you see the angle of it, just bring it that way. It's designed in a certain way. If you cooperate with the design, the ball responds really well. And he stopped and he said, I promise. I promise, if you do it, just cooperate with the club. You see, what happens sometimes is we just pounce on the ball. And when the ball doesn't go anywhere, we look at the club and what do? We throw the club. Stupid club. No, it's not the club that's stupid. We won't go any further. But but sometimes we do that with God. We just pounce and we muscle stuff together. We try it our own way instead of learning how God's laws are and life is designed and cooperate with it. And this is what he said at the end. So all you need to do now is know how the club was designed and consistently learn to cooperate with its design. And I promise you'll get better and better. And you'll see the ball go further and further and straighter rather than going directly to the house that you hit three times in a row. And you see, that's how it is with us. Sometimes we just throw God and throw the Bible and say, that's dumb. That's no good. And the Lord is saying, no, I've designed the universe. You don't want my laws to change, but I've designed it in such a way that everything operates great. And if you'll follow in obedience to my commands, then I promise, my provision, my blessings, my insight, my wisdom will follow you. That's why the Bible says, and these signs or blessings or miracles will follow them who believe. These things will follow. If you will follow that pathway, it'll be there waiting. But if you're anything like me, you'd stop and say, you know, Wayne, I've violated his commands so many times. I don't know if there's any hope for me. Is there any way to break out of that curse, that desire, that proclivity, that tendency to just do it your own way? Yeah, there is. What is it? Would you write down number 3? Learn the power of repentance. Learn the power of repentance. Folks, your greatest weapon against the devil is not a bazooka. It's not a grenade. It's not a tank. It is repentance. You see, because when you repent, when you ask for God's forgiveness, and there's a heart and soul genuine repentance. No, not just like, okay, God, forgive me so I can continue violating your principles without consequences. No, the wages or the consequences of violating his principles will be death. You will have problems. You'll struggle. There'll be some dead ends. So repentance and forgiveness is not to sanction me violating him again and his ways so I can just do what I want to and remove consequences. No, his laws cannot change. Repentance is, Lord, I'm understanding now that I violated your laws. Give me a chance now to learn to cooperate with them. Learn your laws, learn your ways, love your laws, love your ways, obey them. Lord, could I have another chance? And God will give us a chance again and again. He will not bend his laws. But the judge will bend his regal posture to bring mercy to the lawbreaker so that we will learn his ways and have another chance to do that. You understand? He won't break his laws. He will just give mercy to the lawbreaker who is repentant. Here's a cool thing. See, when I repent, the blood of Christ that forgives us is sort of like covers us, protects us from the wiles of the devil, who wants to come and in our moment of weakness bring destruction, because a thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But when you and I repent, his blood covers us and protects us from the wiles of the enemy so that we can be restored. So repentance is the most powerful weapon against the enemy. It's not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of strength. It's also a sign of understanding the ways of God. Now Solomon, who was the wisest king, was talking about God forgiving his people. And he's saying, God, when these people repent, Lord, do this. And let's read what he says out of 2 Chronicles. Go. When they sin against you, for there is no man who does not sin, and they repent, and if they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul, then hear from heaven, from your dwelling place, their prayer and supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Yeah. You see, when we are a people of repentance, genuine heartfelt soul repentance, then God brings the restoration, and he re-corrects or re-edits or re-amends, he recalibrates everything so that we can have a pathway back, not to keep violating, but so that we can understand his ways and cooperate because his promises are still there. God is a just judge. You don't want an unjust judge. Even when we make mistakes, you don't want a judge to be partial to anybody, us included, because if we make a mistake or we blow it, we sin, and we want the judge to be partial to us in a court of law, oh, that sounds good, but what if the shoe was on the other foot and the other guy was given partiality? You wouldn't like that. That's unjust. You say, no, we really need a just judge. Well, what if you're wrong? Then you don't want to bend the laws, because then it would be chaos. Society would be a chaos. No, you do want to call on the mercy of the judge. And when God is the just judge and there is genuine repentance, he is filled with mercy. But it has to be a genuine heart and soul repentance. Learn the power of repentance. In fact, let's read what James says. It's a precious scripture. Let's read it at the end. Go. God's mercy toward you will win out over his judgment against you. Isn't that great? God's mercy towards you will win out over his judgment if you will repent. God has so much for us. You don't want him to change his laws. Yeah, but if you learn all of God's laws, won't that just kind of bind you up? Mm-mm, it'll free you up. It'll give you confidence. Because you know that if you violate and go this way, it'll take you down a dead-end rabbit trail. That decision is dumb. If I throw away my faith and I steward my body or sexuality wrongly, it'll just mess me up. No, God's ways are perfect. The Bible says the ways of God or the law of God is perfect, restoring the soul. His ways are perfect. And can I say to you, young man, young woman, God's ways are perfect and it won't bind you up. It'll actually release his blessings for your future that he had stored from the very beginning of time. Let me finish with this, and I think I've shared this illustration with some of you before, but let's say it's a professional baseball dad. This guy, every time in the National League he got up to bat, he'd knock a home run. One of the best. But he's coming to the point of retirement, and he has a son, let's say 12 years old, 13 years old, and his son is showing some interest in baseball, so the father wants to, since he's retiring, really, he wants to teach his son everything he knows, everything. Because his desire is to take everything he knows and give it to his son so that he'll be a great baseball player. And he's got it. He just wants to transfer it. So he says to his son, now stand up to the plate like this. And he's doing this from the backyard. And he says, now I'm going to pitch you the ball. And I want you to stand perpendicular now to the pitcher. And I want you to distribute your weight. That's right. Now I want you to hold the bat up. Yep. Get your elbow up a little bit more. Good. Now watch the pitch. Now watch it come off my hands. And when it comes across at a certain time now, in proximity to you, you've got to judge this. When it comes to that point, you make the decision. The decision isn't here to swing. The decision is right here. And when it's coming at that point, you watch the ball, and the first thing you do is you switch the weight of your hips, just snap it. And then the centrifugal force will come around, and you'll match it in timing to that ball. And the centrifugal force that moves with your hips will be able to hit the ball with much more power. All right, let's try that. And the kid says, no, I don't want to do that. Too many laws. You know how many laws you just gave me? It's like I have 5, 6, 8 rules. I don't remember any of those. No, I'll help you. Let's do it one by one. No, power ready. I want to stand on the base. I want to just whack the ball down. Just gonna whack them. No. You stand this way, distribute your weight. Don't you distribute whatever you want to do, but I want to stand this way. I want to whack the ball. No, son. Just stand like this. Get your elbow. No, I'm tired already. I'm tired. No. Son, please obey me because, no, too much trouble. No, it's not. Once you get it in you, it's like natural. Not too many laws, too many rules. No. No, please. And if the kid just rejects it and rejects it and rejects it, listen, it doesn't matter how much that father wants to transfer everything of who he is to who that little boy is, he cannot, because the only way he can transfer everything to that boy with skill and power and knowledge and ability and competency, the only way that that can be transferred is if that son, what? Obeys. If he chooses not to obey, even though the father wants to give him everything, he cannot. It wasn't the father's wish, it's the son's disobedience. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 12, listen to this, it is the father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Isn't that precious? But that's going to be only possible, that transfer is only possible through what? Obedience. Sometimes we think, oh, I don't want to obey. No, God is saying, please, because I want everything that I plan for your future, and it's the best. I have it waiting. And if you'll obey, young person, young woman, Don't succumb to this guy or this culture or whatever it might be. Because when you do, you'll end up in death. And you might forfeit much of your future and you'll never apprehend it. But if you will understand how precious God's ways and laws are and you don't want them to change, and you want to not only know His laws, step two to graduate is you want to love and obey them. Because at the end of every one of his laws or rules is a blessing. I promise it will work. And then when we understand God, then we say, Lord, I want to be an obedient daughter, an obedient son. And you will find the delight of the Father being poured out on you. How's about that? Amen? Amen. We're going to bow our heads. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Lord, thank you so very much for teaching us. And Lord, we want to make some good decisions to follow you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you're here and you say, you know, Wayne, I've not been doing that. I'm a Christian, but I have a terrible time with God's laws sometimes. I want to bend them. But I'm understanding that I want to know God's laws, not bend them, but obey them. And as I do, I'll begin to apprehend, take hold of, receive my inheritance as a man, as a woman, for my future. Lord, would you give me the strength and the power to learn to love and obey your laws? If that's you, just raise a hand in faith to God and just say, Lord, that's me. That's me, Lord. Would you see my heart, my hand? You can put them down. If you're here and you'd say, you know, I have disobeyed a lot like everybody does, but you know, I need to just say, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to make a decision to follow you as Lord and Savior. I've gone to church and I hear Christian stuff, but boy, God's really touching my heart. I need to repent and I want to walk with you, Lord. Give me the strength to do that. Father, forgive me of my sins. And if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today's the day to do that. It'll be the most eternal decision you'll ever make, where you say, Lord, I stop following my ways and I turn and follow yours. That's called repentance. And I want to follow you. Lord, would you come into my heart and take over control? Would you do that today? I receive you as Lord and Savior. If that's you, would you raise a hand in doing so? You're saying, yes, Lord, I'll make that decision. Yeah, I'll make that decision. Sure, yeah, okay, all right, yeah. If this is the first time you're making that decision, there's some ushers outside with yes packets. And they'll be waving them over their heads. And please grab one. In it is a Bible and some follow-up material. It'll really help you. It's free of charge. Just ask them for one. Say, could I get a yes packet? And they'll give you one. But let's all say this prayer together, because God hears prayers that come from pure hearts. Let's all repeat this. Would you say this? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, that you came, died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. I repent, turn from my sins, and turn to you. Come into my heart, change me. Help me to learn to love your commandments and obey them. And now I say this so everyone hears, so I can hear myself, so you can hear me, so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for hearing our prayer. Lord, we want to have a relationship with you that's genuine so that our voice is well known around your throne. Thank you for hearing our hearts. Receive these, especially who made that decision to follow you for the first time. We welcome them into the family of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome these who made that decision to follow Christ.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Mercy and Justice by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord, and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.